Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. We're going to go through and answer some of the questions from the Roo crew this week. About 40-odd questions in there, so we've circled it down to about 15 of the best for me and Kat to talk about and go through, bringing in my 5'8", my partner in crime, Scatman Du. How are we?
That's a new one. Thought of Scatman Du about 5 minutes ago, didn't you?
Yeah, it's I actually call you Scatman Du all the time at home to Beck, but I haven't brought it into the studio
yet.
So testing it out today, how you feel about it?
Don't hate it. Don't love it.
Don't love it. Yeah. There's a few good ones getting around. The Catalyst. Cat dog.
We've got cat scan.
Cat scan, that was it. Yeah. That wasn't a bad one. Catnip. There's some good ones getting around. She doesn't love that one.
Don't love that
I think
one.
There was cat litter last week, which she also wasn't a fan of.
Also not a fan
of. But don't
of
take that
one.
Personally. So we're going to go through and answer your questions. Guys, if you're listening on the podcast, you have all the audio here. If you'd like to watch the video of this, it is available in the Roo Crew, and you get to put in your own questions along with the Supercoach stats and all the extra shows. We've also got a special show coming your way on YouTube this afternoon with the short ball. Go and look at him on Instagram. He does all the fantastic work around the SJ Ball and the Harold Matt. So an episode that I really enjoyed. But a very impressive young man, just quietly. Oh,
so comfortable on camera. Mm. Very articulate. I enjoyed listening to him use all of his footy terminology, some of which was very reminiscent of yourself. He said when he said the line that, you know.
Can you remember the line?
Yeah, this player would put his head where you wouldn't even put your foot.
Yeah, nice.
I think I butchered it a bit, but that is such a classic guru line. You said it this morning in something else.
Yeah, it's good gear. He's part of the Roo Crew too, so shout out to him. Go and follow on Instagram, The Short Ball, and that podcast will be live this afternoon on YouTube and on the Guru podcast. You guys will really enjoy that.
Yeah. I just also wanted to add, I'm so impressed that he has found this niche in sharing about players, as in – he is talking about a type of footy that you can't Google, you can't find information easily, but he has made it much more digestible for people who want to know more of what's happening. This is CBA territory, and he is absolutely owning it. And I think...
Sorry, a fly was just fucking with me. I almost got him. I'll get him next time. But yes, he has absolutely nailed his niche and done a very good job. I rattled the shit out of Kat, the full professional.
I rattled myself because I just like we're at the point of the week where words are really difficult to get out.
But yeah, that episode's coming this afternoon with the short ball. Please, guys, go follow him on Instagram. Go check out his gear. He does tremendous stuff, and he is part of the Roo Crew community as well. My God. Put a fork in me. I'm done this week. Kat, just take us to a question. Who have we got?
All right, we're starting with Zach Fitzroy. The Raiders seem to be really going on a tear with the young guys they are signing. Outsiders, Saunders, who look like they're...
Keep going. Outside Saunders, who looks like he is going, and Mooney, who they are trying to re-sign. Who else would you like to see them chase now?
Does that mean I answer or no?
You just find yourself over there for a second, okay? Now, Zach, I agree, mate. They've made some great sounds. I actually met Ethan Saunders on the weekend. Seems like a really good kid. I've heard rumours that he has just about signed, but I think he keeps his cards pretty close to his chest. I've actually heard that he has signed. So keep an eye on that situation. I think it'll be a really good signing. Trey Mooney's down there. I think we've got a couple of Trey Mooney questions coming up. Honestly, when I look at the Raiders team, like, it'd be mad to keep Trey Mooney, but honestly, I don't know if they need him with all the players they've got. And they're not really crying out in any position now, the emergence of Matty Timoko and these sort of guys. James Schiller's just signed with the Knights, so maybe an outside back. But they're in a really good spot at the moment, the Raiders, mate. And, yeah, I think this young group, they're in a good spot, Kat. I think we actually spoke about it the other day, the two of us on one of the shows somewhere, about how they've got this young group. And I would assume Ricky Stewart's selling point has been, hey, this is a team waiting for someone to own it. You've got an experienced halfback. You've got a mad forward pack. This is a great spot for you to develop. I'll always back you in. So the Raiders are in a really good spot at the moment. So honestly, who would I want to see them chase? I think they're doing okay. Zach Hosking, I think he's out for about 10 weeks or so, which is devastating. But when he returns, mate, the Raiders are sitting in a very, very good spot.
Yeah. I will echo everything you said. All right. While we're on the topic of Trey Mooney, there is a question from Nick saying, Mooney to Bulldogs a possibility, Roo?
Yeah, I've actually been a bit surprised, Kat, that the Bulldogs haven't gone out and found front row forwards over the last few weeks when they've had injuries and guys out and whatnot and they were just short on middles anyway. I've been a bit surprised, and I think Trey Mooney would be the perfect guy to go to. If I was the Bulldogs, I'd be making a move on that reasonably quickly because, man, if I'm the Penrith Panthers, I'm also looking at Trey Mooney to give him an opportunity to come up here. I will say this about Trey Mooney, and this is just talking just from the outside looking in. Maybe it's just that they're too stacked at the Canberra Raiders. But I would have thought by now he would have been a regular first grader. He hasn't been. Every time I watch him in the last cup, he looks really good. So he's one of those guys that I'm starting to wonder, Kat, if maybe there's like an attitude thing there or something. And that's just me talking completely out of my ass. There's no evidence, nothing to back that up. I just find it interesting that a kid with his talent and his body hasn't been in a regular first grade side. But maybe it's just situational down there at the Raiders because I do really like him as a player.
Yeah, it could. It usually means there's something else going on. There's some other factors in play. All right, Jace wants to know, and also I love this. He said, G'day, Goo Unit and Hadaddy. I do get Hadaddy a little bit, so rate it.
Your Bluetooth is Hadaddy. It rattles me every time.
My phone is called Hadaddy iPhone. I'm a relatively new fan of the sport and would love to know which players, current and former, you think have the best highlight reels. I'm keen to get acquainted with some of the legends of the sport. Cheers, legends. Have a good one.
I love this question, Jace. I'm also a big fan of the name, Jace. Very good gear. Current and former. I think current, honestly, I'd be looking at the New Zealand Warriors, Sean Johnson and Roger the Dodger. RTS, I reckon those 100%. Two of the greats. Reece Walsh, it's been a short career, but worth a watch of that highlights
reel.
Oh, it means
some good plays for sure.
Some crackers. Kalen Ponga has some unbelievable ones. As far as players from the past, I think Benji Marshall.
Yes.
Probably takes the cake. If you can find yourself a Matty Bowen highlights reel, I think that'd be an absolute cracker. Mm. It's hard because like highlights reels on YouTube and all that probably only started 15 years ago, would you say?
Yeah. But I'm sitting here reflecting on how few highlight reels I've watched.
Yeah, when I
think my answer to this question, I'm immediately just going to moments that I remember from actual games, not highlight reels.
I think Matty Bowen's a good shout. Carmichael Hunt's got a really good one as well. So there are a few out there, but Kat, God, it's going to be exciting in like 40 years' time where you're going to have endless highlight reels and all these guys.
Endless amounts of content. I would also the NRL have a YouTube page and they've posted a lot of flashback content and a lot of that kind of retro or whatever you want. It's not even retro because it's from like the 2000s, but it's pretty cool. I'd go back and look at some of their archive content.
I'll tell you the other one that has a really good highlights package is Billy Slater.
Oh, without incredible a doubt. Stuff. But I mean, Storm.
Yeah, but I think like Cam Smith and Cooper Cronk aren't really like I froth watching their shit.
Yeah.
But unless you really understand the game, you probably can't appreciate those two as much, whereas Billy Slater is just an out-and-out freak. I'm shocked to my core, Kat, that you didn't say GI.
Oh, I'm embarrassed.
GI is an absolute.
I would
cracker.
Actually, you know what, Jay, scrap everything I said. The first thing you're going to Google is Greg Inglis highlight reel and just grab some popcorn, grab your favorite beverage, sit down and enjoy that.
Sit back, put the feet up. Love that. What's next, Kathmandu? Great question, Jace.
Great question. Bucko wants to know, do you think Jake Toby will get a chance in first grade at some point for an NRL team?
Bucko, really good question. I hope so, mate. Jake Toby's a very, very talented player. Came from Seagulls reserve grade last year. He's now in the Melbourne Storm system, I guess you could call it, because he's playing for the North Sydney Bears. I actually watched him play on the weekend. I've always really liked Jake Toby, and I sort of forgot that he was at the Bears. And I showed up there to Parramatta Stadium, to Combank the other day, and got there for reserve grade and thought, oh, beautiful. Sua Farlongo is going to be playing. He wasn't, but Jake Toby was, who I really love. He played in a trial for the Melbourne Storm at the start of the year. I tipped him to go well. He was pretty quiet, to be fair, but a very, very good player, Jake Toby. So I hope he gets an opportunity somewhere, mate. But if I'm honest, I'm a little bit nervous whether he will or not. But another little highlight reel on legs. And fuck, he's a tough little kid. He goes hard at it, Jake Toby.
I'm going to have to do a bit more research on him because he sounds great.
Yeah, a little
great.
CBA there.
Love it, love it. Okay, this one's actually for me. It's from Sammy, our French friend, who also waves the Lebanese flag.
Oh.
Big ups.
Frenchanese.
Love that. Question for Kat. If I wanted to explain Andrew Johns in football, soccer ball terms, what would it be? I really, really like this question. Do you have any suspicions where you'd go to answer this question, or is this new territory for you?
I mean, obviously the big debate, the GOAT debate over the last few years, which I, from my outside looking in, it sounds like everyone's pretty settled on Messi now.
Oh, no, that's absolutely not true, unfortunately. It really depends who you talk to.
Okay, who do you think?
I have a very strong standpoint on the Messi-Ronaldo thing, and it's a podcast episode in itself. In fact, I have some if you go back to my football content. But they have very different careers.
Mm-hmm.
Messi, for the majority of his career, was a one-club guy. He achieved everything that you could possibly do at one club. So he's a Barcelona legend.
Mm-hmm.
Ronaldo, however, was able to dominate and win every award that you could win in different leagues. So he went from the Premier League to La Liga to the French League to now Saudi. That's his journey. It's very different to Messi's journey. And also, I think their playing styles are very different. Messi does things that the average person cannot do.
Mm.
Ronaldo is the epitome of hard work and natural ability combined. That's where I stand on that. For a long time, said I was more of a Ronaldo person because of the fact that he had dominated in so many leagues. And then, of course, Messi left and he started playing in other clubs and in other countries and stuff. So I feel like my argument was no longer valid. But I've actually not really answered your question at all. I don't know where I stand on it. I still don't. I think Messi, in terms of being a footballer, is clinically a better footballer. But there's something to me more exciting about Ronaldo.
Now, I don't want to have my throat shit down here. I just want to get from the outside in, just put in a few opinions that I've gathered.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't the World Cup kind of separate them a little bit?
Yeah, could do.
Could do.
But it's not. You don't decide where you're born.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a very valid
and
point.
And like then there's – I don't want to get too technical.
But I love how passionate you are about this stuff, so I want to hear it.
There's players like Lewandowski, who's an amazing, amazing player. He was at Bayern, Barcelona. He's won so many different things, won a variety of awards playing for Bayern. But then he's born in Poland.
Yeah.
And Poland on a national or international level is never going to achieve what an Argentina or a Portugal can do. So I think where you're born, if anything, and look at Haaland. You've heard of Haaland.
Well, I was actually going to bring Lewandowski up as an example.
Oh, I love that.
I love your face there.
But I'm impressed. But Haaland, right, is the player everybody's been talking about for the last 2-3 years.
Has he got the kid that kind of looks like him that sings
the
songs?
No, that's Foden. But I like that you know who Foden is.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm very positive on this one.
Okay. Yeah. I feel weirdly confident about this.
Haaland doesn't have kids.
No, not his kids. No, isn't Haaland the guy that they – he's an Aussie guy, the singer.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that that's okay.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about different things. My bad. Yeah. But Haaland is born in Norway.
Okay.
So
Norway.
What? God, okay. So to answer your question about Andrew Johns, I can answer this one of two ways.
Yep.
from a style perspective and his approach to the game, he's very, to me, very Andrea Pirlo, who played, yep. he's an Italian player. I think that their style is very similar. It's that ability, the precision, that's very Andrew Johns. But then if we're going to talk about accolades, it's hard to compare the two sports because one is big in Australia, the other is big globally. But I would say that Andrew Johns has the...
I have a question.
Yeah.
And once again, I could be off the mark, but from the outside looking in, it sounds to me like these two are the two best soccer players we've seen. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. And what I quite often find, and you take basketball as the example as well, like you take LeBron and Jordan, obviously, mm-hmm. and I feel like sometimes when you're the second best, people shit on you unnecessarily because you're not like you're almost better off being third than second. And I feel like for most of my life, the discussion on the outside of my life about soccer has been who's the better out of these two. Then after that World Cup and a lot of people declared Messi, I thought Ronaldo got treated very poorly and unfairly by a lot of people.
Yeah.
When, okay, maybe he's not the best, but he's the second best in the fucking universe. And all I heard was sort of people shitting on him a little bit.
It's actually crazy.
Yeah, it's very harsh.
And the funny, it's kind of like the Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer thing too. It doesn't matter where you stand on this. No one will ever understand the other better than they do.
Mm.
Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal can get along and understand their individual journeys in a way that none of us can ever understand.
Mm.
Same with a Ronaldo and a Messi. They can sit next to each other and appreciate what they've both achieved. We're the ones that have beef. They don't have the beef.
Mm.
So I would just say that Andrew Johns in the NRL sphere has the feel of a Messi or a Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Because he has that GOAT status. Yeah. So to answer your question, I think it took me 5 minutes to answer.
No, but it's good. It's good chat. It's good sports chat.
It's really interesting to compare because comparison can be sometimes it's the worst when it's within the same sport, I think. But when you're comparing sports, it's a really cool way of explaining the role that someone has played. And Andrew Johns is no denying the role that he played in rugby league.
Who do you think, and I don't want any context, if you had it gun to head, you had to give me a one-word answer, who do you think is like the GOAT of the GOATs? Like who do you think is the like?
Do you mean in all sport?
Yeah. Like I would probably go Tiger Woods personally.
Without giving
any context, yeah. I would probably go with Tiger Woods.
You're on your Tiger thing this week.
I am on a Tiger thing. Yeah.
It's really hard.
Bit of elevator music.
Yeah. Because I'm going like kind of like the Michael Jordan or LeBron route, but then I'm also going Messi or Maradona even.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh so. I think we should move on to the next question.
I think we should move on. This is really hard.
So, all right, next
question.
Shout out to you, Sammy.
Yeah,
you just dominated the whole show, brother.
Okay. The Meat Man.
Yeah.
Pause. Out of mid-year test match, City versus Country and the Nines competition, what do you miss the most? Why and what do you think should be brought back?
I missed the mid-year test match by far and away, the Anzac test. I think it was always really cool, Kat, that used to we used to have the Anzac test match. So like 8 weeks after the season, you'd pick a Kangaroos team.
Mm.
And then 6 weeks after that, you'd pick New South Wales and Queensland. I always thought that was really fun to have and there was so much passion in those games. So I would bring that one back. I love City Country, but the reality is none of the players were playing in it by the end of it. They were all pulling out. And I get why they were pulling out of it. I get why coaches were refusing to let their players go. I get it. And you got to remember too, back in the day, City Country was a genuine New South Wales trial. It wasn't like that anymore. And the Nines, I really enjoyed. But once again, you know, it only just took one big injury to sort of make the Nines a bit fucked for that year and probably not worth it. So, yeah, I would probably rather just have the mid-year test and I'd be happy to leave the other two. Yeah, that would be cool. But I will say this, keep your eyes on the City Country situation because we might have something coming a little bit later this year that might wet the whistle of some of you listeners out there. So I'll leave it at that.
All right, Sam Ham. We love a name that rhymes. Can Billy Slater fit Kalen Ponga and Reece Walsh into his starting 17 or since running dual hookers, is it too much of a Kevin Nkwama? Wow.
A drama. A Kevin Nagama, a drama.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it is a bit of a Kev, mate. I think with the two hookers, I'm not sure if you can afford to run Caelan Ponga and Reece Walsh personally. And I think that Caelan Ponga and Reece Walsh, I think both are probably better players than Harry Grant and Ben Hunt. But I think that hooker rotation is just so important to what that side has done and what that side will do again this year that unfortunately I think one of KP or Reece Walsh miss out on the side. Not sure who it'll be yet. I'd probably lean towards KP just because Reece Walsh is the incumbent. But yeah, I would for gameplay alone, not who's the better players. If I was a Queenslander, I would rather have my two prong hooker attack.
Crazy to have that much talent that you have to say no annoying. To a Caelan Ponga or a Reece Walsh.
Yeah.
Okay, James Wallerich. Guterinho, if you created the perfect footballer, which players would you take the vision, power, speed, defensive intelligence, passing, and off-the-cuff flair from? P.S., how are you after the SJ unfollow?
Yeah, look, I'm holding up okay. I'm not doing great, though, but I'm holding
You've
up
You've
okay.
been a bit moodier this week.
I have been a bit moody this week. That's true. It's a bit been Jason Moody.
He's been projecting his unrequited love on me.
Shut up. All right. I'll tell you what, if the soccer question that I didn't overly care about took us 15 minutes, this one, I could be here for a week and a half. Vision. I'm going to take Cliffy Lyons for vision. Power, I'm going to take power. I'll tell you what, standing on the sideline at CommBank Stadium on the weekend watching Jason Taumalolo up close, I know he's not at his best anymore, but my God, he's a powerful human. I would probably go with Payne Haas, though, at the moment for power. Speed, I think when he debuted and he first came into the league and he was super skinny, I think Josh Adokar is still the fastest guy I've ever seen on a football field. Defensive intelligence. You guys probably won't like this because he wasn't a big hitter and all that stuff, but, mate, there's a reason why Melbourne defended so well for so long is because Cam Smith, especially defensive intelligence, Cam Smith every day of the fucking week for me. Passing, I would probably go for a real selective passing. Probably JT's hard to go past.
Oh, that's nice.
He had an incredible passing game,
JT. Of the Thurston kind.
Yes, of the Thurston kind, not of the Taumalolo kind. would go of the Thurston kind there. And off the cuff flair.
I like that part.
Yeah, it's a good little addition. Maybe like a Matty Bowen. I think we mentioned him earlier today. I would love to get a little slice of Matty Bowen. I love watching like Caelan Ponga at the moment, the flair that he comes up with, Reece Walsh. Cam Munster on his moments where he just goes, bang, bang, thanks for coming. Probably those guys, but Matty Bowen when it comes to off-the-cuff flair. SJ right up there as well, to be fair.
I was going to say SJ. That's where my mind went.
Yeah, I'd probably go Matty Bowen. He was just a fucking freak. I'll tell you who else was unbelievable off-the-cuff flair, and you only saw it in fleeting moments throughout his career, but Todd Carney. Was an absolute freak at that sort of shit.
What
could
a
just
name.
Do something out of nothing.
Glass from the past, that one.
TC.
We don't talk about him much, do we?
Not enough. Nowhere near enough.
Bring back the Carney.
Big fan of TC.
Bring back the Carnage.
The Carnage. Okay, I like cool. that. All I think right. he's doing some work with Mitchell Pearce. I think they might have their own podcast now. So shout out to the boys.
Love it. All right. Next question. Kalen Gibb. Who will have the most impact at their respective new clubs? JFH at the Wires or AFB at the Sharks?
It's JFH by a country mile and it's not even fucking close in my opinion. And that's not taking anything away from AFB. AFB is a very, very good front rower and he has been a good front rower for a very long time with a bit of X factor. James Fisher-Harris is one of the better winners rugby league has ever seen. For me, it is James Fisher-Harris. Like the Warriors just signed the New Zealand captain who just won three premierships in a row. If it's not JFH, I'll fucking give it away. Has
crazy
to be
stuff.
Fish.
Crazy stuff. Jay Haddo, 1994. Thoughts on the eighth wonder of the world, Leichhardt Oval, being scrapped from the NRL schedule in coming years and being labelled an eyesore by some journo.
Mm-hmm.
As a Tigers supporter, I feel this one in my soul.
Yeah, I don't love this one either. I think the eyesore was a little bit over the top. I think all of us in rugby league will miss Leichhardt Oval 100%. And I reckon PVL will put his cape on here over the next couple of months or years, and I reckon he's going to save it for us, Kathmandu.
Yeah.
I don't reckon we'll lose Leichhardt Oval. And shout out to this guy who actually spelled Leichhardt correctly. Great
yeah,
knock.
Respect. The double Harder H, than you the think. D before the T. It's
the H, or the double H always
yeah,
throws
it'll
me.
Get ya. I also just wanted to say, as someone who went to Leichhardt Oval for the first time recently, it's I don't want to see it disappear from the comp. I think put some work into it, make it less of an eyesore, but don't take away the – we're running out of stadiums that feel like old school footy, and it has that feeling, and it would be such a shame to get rid of it.
I don't understand the eyesore.
Use their words.
Surrounded by beautiful trees, got a lovely hill, it's got a nice little grandstand there. You know, it's got the Keith Barnes stands who passed away about 2 weeks ago, Golden Boots. Thoughts out to the Barnes family. But I don't see the problem with it.
I don't get it.
I think it's fantastic. And when you pack it out, it's unreal. Is it a bit of a pain in the ass to get to and get out of? Sure, but I don't care about that when I'm going to the footy.
That's also like that's a you problem. Like yeah. Plan ahead.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean get rid of the whole stadium.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. This one is from Nick Owen. I really like this one. Rue, help. I'm a Wigan Warriors fan from the sunny shores of Wigan, England. I need a team to follow. Some of your top four clubs to consider based on what you know and your experience of following the NRL. Love your work, big man. Regards, your best Pommy fan.
Nick Owen, I love this question. And did you read his comment under that?
Oh, let me check. It wasn't open.
Said, same question also for the Cataclysm. That's you.
That's a new name.
I like that, Nick Owen.
I like
what do we
Nick.
Reckon? I think for starters, the Panthers would be a great team to go for right now. They're set up for the future with Nath Cleary.
But
they'd be fantastic.
I will warn Nick that you can be branded a bit of a bandwagoner 100%. By jumping on the Panthers train, only because they're off the back of so much success.
Yeah.
But it's for a reason. They've worked hard for that success. So it's just something to consider.
I think as a Wigan Warriors fan, I think you could do much worse than going for the Warriors at the moment. I think they're about to enter special period. So I would have Penrith Warriors. I would have South Sydney in there as a traditional club. They've been through
the oldest,
a lot. South Sydney,
loudest, and the proudest.
The proudest, yeah. I would push the Roosters as well because you'll cop a lot of shit.
They're also equally as old.
But the reality – well, older because anyway. But the reality is with the Roosters, if you're a fan of them, they will just go and buy guys that can win you premierships every couple of years. The other team that I think would be really fun to go for now that they're back sort of in their heyday is the Broncos. One town club, doing great things. Outside of that, I always think Newcastle would be a fun team to go for. The city just fucking loves rugby league. Like you talk to Lavender and stuff, just how much they love their footy. But I think Penrith and the Warriors right now for me.
I think it makes sense for you to support another Warriors side. There's some nice synergy there and I think you can make it work. But if you are wanting to follow an Australian team, I think support the Bunnies. Come join us.
I'm going to say the Warriors. I'm going to sound really lame here, but they're just cool at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
Everything
cool.
They do is just hectic. So if I could pick any team to go for right now, I think it would probably be the Warriors. And I mean, yeah, I'd probably go for the Waz.
Yeah, up the Waz every day. Even up the Waz when it's against South Sydney and I'm
really?
In RTS. I said up the Waz. Honestly, they played.
The dog.
I'm the worst fan right now.
What an absolute
dog. The problem with – and I actually did a TikTok on this a couple of months ago and it sparked a bit of conversation in the comments. But when you work in sports – I've obviously worked in football, in the Premier League, done all of that stuff and then working in rugby league as well. You start to appreciate the everything about all these other teams as well, the journey of the players, the journey of the clubs, their progress, the difficulty of each club. And it makes it very hard to not feel a certain way about other sides.
Bloody oath. It's what I struggle with.
Yeah, and it's turned me into a really shit South Sydney fan because I appreciate all these other clubs and their journeys and the players and what can I say?
Even the Roosters.
That's where it ends.
Cool. Next question, what do we got?
From Big E. G'day, cat dog. She's cat, but she's got that dog in her. Nice. Just wondered if you'd consider wearing a top hat for Beers and Break Even so that I can make Cat in the Hat thing one and thing two work. Cheers in advance.
You could be Cat in the Hat. Me and Timbo could be thing one and thing
I'm
two.
I'm so here for that.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
It's such a shame that the season doesn't run through Halloween, because we could do a dress up episode and that would be absolutely perfect.
That would be perfect. I like that.
Good thinking, Big E. All
I'll right. tell you what, I think that if you beat us this year, the review show, me and Timmy come as thing one and thing two.
I actually rate that. All right. Shall we move? So last question.
Last one.
We're ending on a high with probably one of the best names we've read today.
Yeah.
Zorro. Crazy. Wow. Zorro Roronoa. Great name. Hey, Gurusta and Cat Scan. After Cam Smith, who is your pick for the next immortal / immortals? My money is on Gutho.
Yeah, look, Zorro, up until last week, I thought I was the worst punter in the world. But if your money's on Gutho, you might take the cake off me. Sorry, mate. After Cam Smith, who is your pick for the next immortal? I've said on a number of occasions, I think Cooper Cronk should be an immortal.
Yeah.
I know that's an unpopular opinion with a lot of people, but similar to James Fisher-Harris, there's something in winning everything you fucking ever do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, Kat. I always say, like, the only reason why New South Wales won that Shield in 14 is because Cooper Cronk got injured in that game.
Yeah.
He got injured in game one, missed game two, came back in game three and absolutely smashed us off the park. And I said to Kat, I said to Beck the other day, she was talking about the 14 premiership. It's not even true. I just made it up, but she doesn't care enough to research. And I went, you know, you only won that comp because Cooper Cronk was injured and the Melbourne Storm couldn't win it that year. That's the only reason why. And she absolutely lost her mind. And now she keeps like referring to it as a bullshit excuse. She hasn't even checked to see if it's factual or not.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I've just been running with it. So Cooper Cronk, I would have up there. I still think Brett Kenny. I think in rugby league, we value – it's so weird. Like, you take a guy like Jonathan Thurston, Cat, and we value these Dally M's so highly for JT. But then we get to the Dally M award every year and everyone tells me this award's bullshit and it doesn't count and it's crap and it's stupid. And then I look at a guy like Brett Kenny who, you know, he went to 3 grand finals in a row. He scored 2 tries in every single one of them. He got man of the match in 2 of them. For me, I don't think we put enough emphasis on being the best player on the field in the biggest game of the year. Instead, we put a lot of emphasis on, and let's be honest here, SJ and Kalen Ponga last year, who KP won the Dally M, you all told me SJ should have won and it was a robbery. Neither of them beat a top 4 side all year. Like, personally, I don't think the pinnacle of our game should be how well you beat up on shit.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sides, it should be how you compete against the best sides. And that's why I have Fisher-Harris as the best front row forward, because no one's able to get the better of him on the biggest stage. Brett Kenny got to the biggest day every single year and he was the best player on that day. So
yeah.
I don't think we put enough emphasis on that sort of stuff.
And we've talked about Dally M before and the way that the voting works, and it is obviously to do with performance over the length of the season. It's not just one game and getting man of the match in one game. But to draw a comparison, because that's obviously the theme of today's episode, we have the Ballon d'Or in football. And same story every year. You talk about it. Who's going to get it? Is it Messi? Is it Haaland? Is it Virgil van Dijk? I don't know. It's all these different players. But then when it happens, everybody says, oh, but it's voted by journos anyway. It's not a real award, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think the key in all of this is to acknowledge how well these players have played to even be part of this conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where I always end on these. I'm like, I look at SJ and Kalen Ponga and you think the fact that they did what they did last year is enough for them to be worthy of those accolades.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've had this discussion a million times, and, you know, for everyone that says, you know, Sean Johnson was robbed, it's bullshit. It's like, okay, Kalen Ponga only played 16 games. Like, if SJ was that knockout better than him, when he played 8 or 9 more games than him throughout the season, it's done on points, not opinions.
Yeah.
You probably should have won it then.
Yeah, and also, you know, Turbo's best season.
Yep.
It was in a matter of, 15 games that he was able to get Manly from 14th place or something to top four, something like that. I'm not guru, so I can't recall stats the same way.
Yeah, well, obviously that was like a shortened season, but he still only played 15 games. Yeah. But he was good enough in those 15 games.
People will still say that was one of the best individual performances of any player in any season. And I think you have to just call it somewhere.
Yeah, and I think like I mentioned before, people think I hate JT. I don't. I'm just calling out the reality of it. Everyone talks about these, you know, these Dally M's at JT one, like especially when they're comparing him to Andrew Johns. You go back to 2005, JT played, I think, 25 games that season. Mm. He got 31 Dally M points, which is incredible. Joey played 16 and got 30 Dally M points.
Far out.
In a team that came dead last. Like, it's just, like, and then, and you know, if you, if Joey would have played one more game and he wins that Dally M, all of a sudden Thurston's on three, Joey's on five, I think. And it's a completely different conversation. I just think with that Dally M medal, we lack a lot of context. Personally, I put a lot more emphasis on a Clive Churchill medal. Heaps more emphasis on a Clive Churchill than a Dally M medal.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Biggest stage, brightest lights. Let's see who's the fucking best.
Rate it.
So, yeah.
Well, that's all our cuestiones.
Cuestiones.
That's how you say questions in Spanish.
Sounds delicious. Beautiful. We're done, Kathmandu?
Yes, we're done.
That's going to pretty much do us for the week too, just quietly.
Yep.
How good.
Now we just watch some great matchups. We did post our tips on Rucru as well if you want to know who we think is going to win.
Give me a tight weekend.
Yeah, I think tight like a tiger this weekend.
Tight like a tiger?
Yeah.
Toit like a tiger.
Toit like a tiger.
Toit like a tiger. Love that. All right, we're going to hit the frog and toad. Thank you for joining us once again on the Rugby League Guru podcast. Link for the Roo Crew is in the description if you're on the potty. You can go to the Roo Crew and watch the video of pretty much all of our podcasts that we do. If you want to watch the video content, there's the Supercoach stats in there, heap of extra stuff in there. So make sure you go and check it out, and we'll see you next time here on the Rugby League Guru podcast.
Adios.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.